The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with kind of an important thing from the Reader's Digest, and that's 12 foods you must toss after their expiration date. Think the sniff test can protect you from foodborne illness? Not necessarily when these items are involved. Throw out these foods once expiration date passes. We've all come across this scenario while organizing the pantry and fridge. We sort through the food and look at the packaging only to realize the expiration date has come and gone. Yikes! Does that mean you should throw it away immediately, even if it looks okay? The answer? It depends. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, many foods are okay to eat after their best buy and sell by dates passed, since those dates reflect food quality, not food safety. Aside from baby formula, the FDA doesn't regulate these dates, meaning they're mainly used to help people determine when food will taste its best. So, as long as the food hasn't spoiled, it should be fine to eat. However, there are certain foods that require greater adherence to expiration dates, like meat and certain dairy products. It's also best to toss the other foods on this list once their expiration date passes, unless you want to roll the dice on an extra sick day. Egg substitutes. How long will they last? 3 to 5 days if opened, 10 days if unopened. A full carton of eggs has a little more leeway than their box substitutes, but both should be consumed in a timely manner. If you're debating whether to finish off that two-week-old carton of egg whites, don't. It's very safe to keep eggs in the refrigerator for 3 to 5 weeks if they're raw and in the shell. For egg substitute products, you have about 3 to 5 days on average once they're open, and if they're unopened, you have about 10 days. Said Jennifer Crandall, RDN, a Denver-based registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, and national spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Boy, she's got a lot of nice stuff. Soft cheeses, how long they last? 1 to 2 weeks, depending on the type of soft cheese. However, they should be tossed at the first sign of spoiling. Harder cheeses, like cheddar and gouda, have a long shelf life in the fridge because it's more difficult for bacteria and mold to permeate them. Once opened, though, hard and processed cheeses last about 3 to 4 weeks, according to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and you can cut out a 1-inch square around a small moldy area and use the rest of the cheese if you have to. However, softer cheeses like ricotta, cream cheese, or goat cheese are more susceptible to bacteria and should be tossed at the first sign of spoiling or once the expiration date has passed, whichever comes first. As a general rule, the softer the cheese, the shorter the shelf life. So 2 weeks max for cream cheese and 1 week for ricotta, says the experts at the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Jarred condiments, how long they last? 1 month or 1 year, depending on the condiment. However, they should be tossed if there's discoloration or an odd odor. It may seem like spreads and sauces last forever, but just because they're in a glass jar tucked away in the cool refrigerator doesn't mean they're untouchable by bacteria. Once you've opened that lid, the safety seal is broken, and you should be using that condiment in a timely fashion, says Crandall. In addition, as we make sandwiches, for example, we dip our knife into the spread container and wipe it onto the sandwich, and then we dip back it into the container. By doing this, you're putting some of that bacteria back into the container. Mustard can last up to a year in the fridge, but chuck the salsa after 1 month. Mayo after 2, barbecue sauce after 4 months, and ketchup after 6, according to New York's Department of Agriculture. But if you notice any water floating on top, discoloration, or weird smells, it's best to toss it no matter how long it's been refrigerated. Potato salad, 3 to 5 days. Similar to jarred spreads, potato, tuna, or egg salads are more susceptible to bacterial growth because they have more instances of exposure, saving you take just a few scoops at a time from the container. You may also simply forget that the salad has been sitting there for days, and once your salad has been contaminated, you're more at risk for food poisoning. Our food system is very safe, but sometimes when things fall out of temperature, or if there is bacteria introduced, we have to be extra cautious, says Crandall. So toss deli or homemade salads after 3 to 5 days, warns the USDA. If you want to sprinkle some salt on that potato salad, here's what they know about salt expiration. And we're not going to even cover that. I don't know why they even put that on there. Kind of dumb. Cold-pressed juice. How long it lasts? 5 days after opening, but it could last up to 30 days if it went through high-pressure processing. Green juices may be filling up your Instagram feeds, but raw versions should not find a permanent home in your refrigerator. Raw, untreated juices are incredibly popular among the health conscious because they're nutrient-dense, but it's important to consume them very soon after buying. Unlike typical processed juices, which undergo pasteurization to kill off harmful bacteria and increase shelf life, these raw juices are not pasteurized, making them much more prone to bacterial contamination. Some cold-pressed juices are treated with high-pressure processing, sometimes called cold pasteurization. This can extend the shelf life of fresh juice for about 30 days, and they're usually fine when refrigerated properly for 5 days after opening. But be sure to check a product's label for the use-by date and handling instructions. Fresh meat. How long it lasts? Go by the meat's sell-by date. With fresh meat, you're usually dealing with a sell-by date, which tells the store the last day it can keep that product out for sale. What does this mean for you? You either need to eat it or freeze it when you get home. The sell-by is telling the store when it should be the last day to have it on their shelf. They may even be discounting the food to try to get rid of it if it's the last day they can have it on their shelf, says Crandall. A lot of fresh raw meat is also contaminated with Salmonella, E. coli, or other bacteria. With that in mind, it's very important to cook the meat at proper temperature as a greater defense against bacteria. Here's what you know if you're thinking of refreezing meat, and it doesn't mention that either. I don't know why they add these things on the end of this article, but they do. Ground meats. How long they last? 2 days after purchase, if not frozen. The USDA says that ground meat should be eaten or frozen within 2 days of purchase, whether it's beef, pork, turkey, lamb, or another type. Because it's ground, the bacteria that were originally present on the surface can be mixed throughout the meat, increasing your risk of contracting food poisoning or another illness. Deli meat. I never thought about this. How long it lasts? 3 to 5 days. Take your ticket, but don't load up on too much at the deli counter. Those ham and turkey slices will only last about 3 to 5 days, according to USDA. So it's important to buy only what you realistically eat during that period, unless you plan on freezing it. Prepackaged deli meat sold in airtight packaging will last 2 weeks longer than the fresh sliced varieties, if they're unopened. But as soon as you crack the seal, you're working with the same 3 to 5 day consumption window for safe eating. Deli meat in particular is susceptible to a certain kind of bacteria called Listeria, which can multiply in cold environments like your fridge. So just because it's cold doesn't mean it's completely protected. You can't see, smell, or taste some of the bacteria that can make you sick. But if the deli meat is a little slimy or giving off a funky smell, then it's a good sign it needs to go. Also check that your fridge's thermometer is set below 40 degrees. Fish. How long it lasts? Only 1 or 2 days after purchase. Fish is no less prone to bacteria than meat and should be consumed in 1 or 2 days after purchase, according to the USDA. Otherwise, wrap it up in moisture-proof freezer paper or foil and put it in the freezer where it can stay for 3 months or longer. Fresh berries. How long they last? Between 3 days and 2 weeks, depending on the type of berry. Whether you get them from the store or the farmer's market, berries have a short lifespan. Raspberries and strawberries are good for only about 3 days after purchase, while blueberries can last up to 2 weeks, according to the foodsafety.gov Foodkeeper app. Pro tip, freeze any berries you know you won't eat in that time frame. After that, they turn mushy and become susceptible to growing mold. Something else you should know for your cooking needs. Does flour go bad? Yes, it does. Leafy greens, how long they last? Depends on what the expiration date is, so it's best to eat them ASAP. Yes, even those packaged greens that are pre-washed, leafy greens still have the potential to carry bacteria like E. coli. So for your safety, eat them quickly, and don't consume greens after any date posted on the bag. Shellfish, how long? 3 to 5 days, depending on the type of shellfish. Like other seafood, raw shellfish should be refrigerated pronto before any bacteria can grow enough to cause foodborne illnesses. Clams, mussels, and oysters should be eaten within 5 days after they are bought, according to the Foodkeeper app, while scallops last only 3 days, tops. If you notice a funky odor from any seafood, throw it out immediately. Well, as you know, we've been reading from the Genius issue of the Reader's Digest this month. And this next article happens to be my favorite word. We asked readers and they shared theirs, whether in the dictionary or made up. Copacetic. Everything is A-OK. My father always said it when I was a kid, and I thought he made it up. It always reminds me of him and makes me smile. Mominiscent. I have three kids. I always knew when they were up to something, no matter how covert. Just a little tickle in the back of my brain. Mafic, M-A-F-F-I-C-K. To celebrate with a boisterous rejoicing and hilarious behavior. I learned it while watching Jeopardy. It turns out I had been mafficking my whole life and didn't even know it. Tympanomastoidectomy. Believe it, that's about a 22-letter word. A surgical procedure to treat a damaged eardrum that can involve rebuilding bones in the middle ear. More importantly, this word means my wife of 44 years can hear me. She can also hear her grandkids sing, nature at its best, and those old movies we love to watch. Recombobulate, to reorient. I accounted it after going through security at Milwaukee's General Mitchell International Airport. The airport has a big sign hanging over some chairs. Recombobulation area. CWM. Coom. It's a word with Welsh etymology that describes the steep-sided hollow at the head of a valley or mountain-sided. I love it because it has no vowels and is a great move during Scrabble and other word games. That's great. Refulgent. Shining brightly. My late husband was delighted that this word's meaning was so far from the look and sound of it. His fun was contagious, and it became my favorite word, too. Appendectomy. The removal of an app from any electronic device. As a physician, I find the double meaning especially amusing. That is funny. Yesay. Y-E-S-S-A-A-Y. A piece of writing that one can't help but be excited to create. I made it up to get my students excited about writing in our middle school language arts classroom. Another teacher made me a sweatshirt that says Yesay. Stitch on it. We want to get it into the dictionary. Anything to get the kids to smile when they write. Y'all, Y-A-L-L. I'm a high school teacher with a slight southern accent. One day I asked what the disturbance in the back of the classroom was. It turned out our new foreign exchange student was flipping through all his Chinese dictionary for y'all. Of course it wasn't there. I thought I'd lost my accent, but apparently it still comes through. Paraprodoxakian. That's Paraprodoxakian. A figure of speech in which the latter part of a sentence is unexpected and causes you to reinterpret the first part, usually for humorous or dramatic effect. For example, if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. Or, war doesn't determine who's right, only who's left. Yawn, and that's pronounced yuan, that's J-A-W-N. This is a Philadelphia catch-all for just about anything. It can refer to pretty much any person, place, or thing. For example, pass me that Jawan, or he's a good Jawan. Lonesick. Lonesome and homesick. It conveys more than either of its parents. Delmarvelous. The Delmarva Peninsula runs along the Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia coast. Locals often declare, what a delmarvelous day, to celebrate living along this beautiful shore. Cahoots. Colluding or conspiring together. There used to be a bar with that name near my job. I thought it just meant a gathering place. Where are you? We're in cahoots. Imagination. Whatever comes up in conversation, no matter the context, there's always potential for great things to happen. And the next section is health. The placebo cure. Why doctors are prescribing sugar pills instead of the real thing. Michael Warhead, excuse me. Michael Warod held the envelope in his hands, certain of what the paper inside would tell him. A decade earlier, he'd been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. For a year, the former investment banker had participated in a drug trial at London's National Hospital for Neurology and Neurosurgery. Researchers were testing whether a medication approved to treat type 2 diabetes could also be used to treat Parkinson's symptoms. Every day, Warod had received a dose of either the drug or a placebo. He never knew which. During the trial, Warhead thrived. His joints ached less, and he could get up from a chair more easily and take walks around the block. He also noted that his memory seemed stronger. Friends and family commented on his obvious improvement. My wife and I were convinced I was taking the drugs, he says. But at the end of his trial meeting with one of the researchers who also didn't know whether or not Rahard, then 72, had been on the drug, he was delivered a surprise. When he opened the envelope to find out what he'd been taking, he saw the word placebo. I was speechless, he said. I had been feeling so much better. A placebo can be a sugar pill, a saline injection, or a glass of colored water. Inert treatments that shouldn't produce a physiological response, but they often do. Warhol's case is not unusual. In fact, placebos are increasingly proving to be more powerful than active drugs in trials, and they may just be the key to reducing our dependence on medications. The so-called placebo effect happens when the brain convinces the body that fake treatment is authentic, which stimulates relief. The medical community has long been aware of this phenomena, but in the past 50 years, neurologists began examining the molecular mechanisms and pathways at play when a mock treatment creates real healing. To a large extent, it's still a mystery. But scientists have confirmed that simply perceiving that you're being treated affects the part of our brain that processes symptoms. Because the body-brain response that controls the placebo effect is neurological, placebos work best for conditions controlled by the neurological system, such as pain, irritable bowel syndrome and depression, and Parkinson's disease. They can't change things like a viral infection, and they won't lower your cholesterol, shrink a tumor, or reduce a cold's duration. When placebos do work, expectations play a significant role. If we think a pill can cure you, it's much more likely to do so, says a Lancet review of placebo studies. Researchers described a case where post-surgery patients were given morphine for pain. For some, the medication was delivered secretly with a hidden pump, while others received it from a physician who explained that it would make them feel better. The patients expecting the drug and its positive effects experienced a far greater reduction in pain than those who were unaware they had received it. Placebos can also work as a result of pharmacological conditioning. When clinicians teach a patient how to respond to a placebo by first administering an active treatment, according to Luana Kolaka, M.D., a professor at the University of Maryland's Department of Anesthesiology, this can result in the strongest placebo effect. Studying this phenomenon across the range of conditions, Dr. Kolaka has observed that placebos use the same neurological pathway to the brain as the medications do. The placebo response is like a pharmacological memory, she says, explaining that similar to a trauma response, where the brain reacts to a traumatic event and then is later triggered to replicate that same response. This specificity means that placebos for depression activate serotonin, and those replacing painkillers reduce activity in the brain centers responsible for pain while activating the opioid systems, or pleasure centers. In other words, your brain is tricked into generating a drug response. Placebos are so powerful that they're affecting the chances that a medication will be approved for use. To prove that a drug works, scientists must show that it performs significantly better than a placebo in a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial. In this type of trial, neither the researchers nor the participants know who is receiving what. Over the past two decades, scientists and drug companies have noticed that placebos are helping patients so much that some drugs can no longer outperform them. Not because the drugs are less effective, but because the mind's power over the body seems to be growing. In fact, a 2021 Danish meta-analysis of 180 drug trials shows that in total more than half of the treatment effect could be attributed to a placebo. This increase is not well understood, according to Lenny Vass, Ph.D., a professor of neuroscience and psychology at Aarhus University in Denmark. But it's presenting a problem for drug companies. Some drugs that were approved in the past would not beat a placebo today, she says. Currently, this phenomenon seems to be strongest in the United States. Testing results for the drug lumateperone, provides a typical example. In 2019, pharmaceutical company Intracellular Therapies was on the verge of a major development for the treatment of bipolar depression. It had performed well in earlier trial phases, and the company's scientists were expecting success. Yet in the American arm of the trial, patients who received the drug and those who received the placebo both experienced significant improvement. When Intracellular released its findings showing the drug had failed to consistently outperform a placebo in part of its trial, its stock dropped 22%. Although the drug was later approved by the FDA due to its success in other countries. Jeffrey Mogul, Ph.D., who studies pain at McGill University in Montreal, published a paper in 2015 showing that the placebo effect had increased, especially in the United States. He posits that because American trials are often more expensive and hosted in nice clinics, the patient is conditioned to believe that the medications must work. Neuroscientist Alexander Tuttle, Ph.D., a co-author of the McGill study, hypothesizes that advertising also plays a part. People who view ads depicting patients helped by pharmaceuticals could also be more likely to believe the pill they take in a trial will heal them. The United States is the only country besides New Zealand that allows pharmaceutical companies to advertise prescription medications directly to consumers. Placebo research is now its own area of study, and experts say we should harness the strategies that generate the most powerful placebo effects in drug trials and incorporate them into clinical treatments. It may sound unlikely, but in some cases, placebos work even if you know you're taking one. The effectiveness of open-label placebos, sometimes called pure placebos, has been shown in numerous studies. In one published in the journal PLOS-01, a team of researchers gave patients with irritable bowel syndrome inactive pills labeled placebo. Those patients experienced a 60% improvement in their condition, while those receiving no treatment improved only 35%. The key ingredient to successful treatment with a placebo is honesty, not tricks, said Ted Kapchuk, Ph.D., director of Harvard University's program in placebo studies and therapeutic encounters, who led the study. Already, without telling patients, some doctors prescribe an active treatment, a vitamin or an antibiotic, for example, that they know will likely not treat the ailment, but may generate a placebo effect. In fact, a 2018 international review of studies from 13 countries found that up to 89% of physicians reported using placebo treatments at least once a month. Doctors surveyed said they did this to treat nonspecific complaints or to satisfy patients' demands that something be prescribed. The hope, then, is that after open-label placebos could replace this ethically murky practice. Use of open-label placebos will reduce the amount of medications we use for common conditions, adds Kapchuk. Although knowingly taking faux treatment won't be for everyone, Warhut, for example, isn't convinced that he would have experienced the improvements in his Parkinson's symptoms had he been aware that he was taking a placebo. One 2016 American study published in the BMJ Open found that up to 85% of the 853 respondents felt it was accessible for doctors to treat with open-label placebos in various scenarios. In 2017, more than two dozen international placebo researchers gathered in the Netherlands to begin developing official recommendations around the use of open-label placebos, some of which were published last year. They include informing patients about the placebo effects and fostering warm, trusting, and empathetic patient-doctor relationships. Sorry about that. This provincial transformation in medicine has already changed the lives of some patients. Troy Mack, a 57-year-old Baltimore resident, had been suffering for 2 decades from intense pain in his face, neck, and jaw from temporomandibular TMD joint disorder. When researchers at the University of Maryland, including Kolaka, announced a study of an experiment TMD treatment, Mack was told that based on his medical history, he would be a good placebo responder. That prediction turned out to be correct. After just a week of knowingly taking a placebo, most of Mack's jaw pain had disappeared. His face felt more relaxed and the joint no longer cracked when he yawned. He was finally experiencing relief. If I could get a long-term prescription for this, I would take it, he says. Question for Marie Kondo. If you rob a container store, does that count as an organized crime? The 4 things you need to do before deleting an app on your phone or computer. Removing an app isn't as simple as it sounds. It's always a good idea to remove apps taking up precious space on your phone, especially the ones that could be spying on you. But for apps, you need more than simply hit the delete button. While you think you may have dumped the app, its remnants could still be lurking in the background, leaving your device vulnerable or causing other issues. The biggest misconception is that once an app is deleted, the relationship with the app and the company that owns it is severed, says Jean Vixamar, Senior Vulnerability Management Specialist in Tampa, Florida. That cannot be further from the truth. Those terms and conditions you casually checked off matter. In most cases, you've given them unfettered permission to use the data in whatever ways they see fit, with the interpretation of applicable laws, of course. Luckily, there is a way to make sure that an app is fully gone and that your personal information stays safe. Here's what you need to know to protect your phone and data when deleting an app. Convenience comes at a cost. Most of us regularly use a variety of apps throughout the day, implementing them automatically into our daily routines without giving them much thought. Without a doubt, they can make our lives easier and save us quite a bit of time. But this convenience can have a downside. Applications are everywhere, says Steve Chigarian, Chief Information Security Officer at Xpiro, a cybersecurity analytic company. We use them to shop, bank, order dinner, get a ride, keep our house warm, even keep track of our children. But our data needs to be shared with applications for them to provide value. In most cases, this means extremely sensitive information about us and our lives. Although we share our data with the hope that the app's creator will keep it safe, that's not always the case. Many apps fail to use encryption and other security features, leaving our private information vulnerable to criminals and hackers. In fact, Tercharian adds that apps are the top mode of attack in most data breaches, according to the 2021 version of Verizon's data breach investigation. Why deleting apps can be tricky. Turns out your data doesn't magically disappear when you delete an app. Apps are often part of an intricate web of interconnected tools, products, and sites that track and share your information, likely without you ever even realizing it. Think about a dating app, for example, says Tercharian. Typically, these are linked through a Facebook account that enables the app to access pictures, friends, lists, and other information about yourself available through Facebook. Assume the application developer, with your permission, has access to everything available through your Facebook profile. Tercharian cautions that app users not assume that their private information will be protected. Most applications are horribly insecure, and developers do not follow security best practices when developing an application, he explains. Applications are designed for functionality, not security. Security is difficult and time-consuming, often adding delays to product launch and revenue-generating activities. Assume that the application does not have your data properly secured. The right way to remove an app completely. There are multiple steps involved in making sure an app is fully disconnected from your phone and other accounts. James E. Lee, Chief Operating Officer at Identity Theft Resource Centers, recommends the following process before deleting an app. First, delete all your data on the app. While instructions for erasing data are different for each app, you can usually find an option to delete stored data under the menu titles like Privacy, Account Settings, or Security, Lee says. From there, follow the prompts to remove account data or stored history on the app. Number two, you should also log into your account through a web browser if possible. Sometimes you'll find additional settings available through the desktop version of the app. Mobile apps are often skinny versions of a full-featured application used on the web or on your desktop. So it is a good idea to log into the app through a web browser to make sure you did not miss any additional settings that may not be available in mobile versions of an app. Number three, unlink or revoke any Facebook or Google integrations you may have enabled by going to the app settings tab, finding the linked accounts option, and removing the app or link you want to delete. You can also remove integrations through the linked account instead. Just sign into the linked account, check your settings to see what apps they share data with, and then delete what you no longer use. Lee suggests going to the link account for exact instructions and using their contact form or chat function if you have a question. Number four, if you can't find any information about deleting your data on an app, Lee recommends contacting the app's customer service team and requesting in writing your data be completely deleted. Apps you should avoid. Certain apps are especially troublesome. Experts recommend immediately deleting the apps that security experts should never have on their phones, or better yet, not installing them in the first place. There are a number of apps that are extremely dangerous from security and privacy perspective, says Vic Samar. You should be aware of any app that requires access to your photos, files, camera, microphone, and more, totally or in combination. You have to ask yourself, does this app really need all of this access, or do I really need this app? Before hitting the download button, watch out for certain signs. And with that, let's roll over to Consumer Reports. And we were doing letters last week when we had to shut down because we ran out of time. So let's finish up with those for now. Jumpstarting a hybrid. In the July 2022 issue from Tip from the Test Track, mentions using an EV's 12-volt battery to start another car. Does that hold true for a hybrid also? My Toyota Camry hybrid appears to have a conventional 12-volt battery. Editor's note. A hybrid can be jump-started or use jump-started another battery just like any other car. Note that in a hybrid, there are two batteries, a 12-volt battery plus a high-voltage battery that supplies propulsion power to the electric drive part of the hybrid system. An EV also has a 12-volt battery for accessories, but not for the vehicle's propulsion. An EV will go into reduced power mode when the drive battery is drained to almost empty, about 5%. To restore full power, you'll have to charge an EV battery to get out of that mode. Updating your will. Enjoyed your article on wills in the July 2022 issue. Giving copies of the important medical documents to those who need them in case of an emergency can easily be accomplished using the website My Directives. You can create and or upload documents on the website as well as easily revise them at no cost. Editor's note. Services such as the one you mentioned can be convenient. Another option that we and other privacy experts we consulted advise is storing and sharing your sensitive documents using an encrypted password manager, like our top pick, iPassword, or maybe that's 1Password. You can create a surf folder within the manager that you then share with the people who need access to your documents. Finding shoes that fit. I read with interest the article, How to Find More Comfortable Shoes. The length of the shoe is important, as you stated, but not stated is the width of the shoe. Some shoe companies make only one width medium. What would occur if a shirt company made only one size? I'm retired now, but put myself through college selling shoes. I was taught how to use a Brannock device. The proper width is just as important as the length. What were tested in our labs? Nonstick frying pans. Tested 39 models. We test for how evenly the surface heats up, how easily a fried egg slides off the pan's nonstick surface, and how durable the nonstick stoating is more. The median score was 78 when it ranged from 39 to 88. Ooh, 39 must have been pretty bad. Best overall and oven safe is Green Pan Reserve for $100. That scored an 88. Hot deal and most durable is Green Line Soft Grips. It only cost $20 and it scored an 87. Induction compatible, Le Creuset Tuffin Pro for $110, and that scored at 87. All-season tires. We tested 26 all-season and performance all-season tires. We tested for performance during dry and wet braking, road noise level, how many miles of tread life you get, and more. About the scores, the median was 63, the range was 55 to 74. Comfy ride and long tread life. Michelin Cross Climate 2. Can get 85,000 miles out of it, and it costs $200 and had a score of 74. Super quiet chores is the General Altimax 360 AW. 60,000 miles and $165, it got a 66. And good for fuel economy was the Firestone All Season. Good for 65,000 miles, cost $145, it scored a 61. I just put a new set of tires on my car and my gas mileage went down. Why? When you replace your tires, you may see a slight decrease in your gas mileage because the fuller tread of a new tire is heavier and flexes more with the road compared with older tires, which have a shallower tread depth. Tires literally use rubber over time, says CR tire expert Ryan Fizelowski. That means your old tires required a little less energy to turn, thus using less fuel than your newer tires with deeper treads. As they wear, the fuel economy of your new tires will improve, but you'll also see a slight decrease in foul-weather grip. Nevertheless, don't hang on to unsafe, worn-out tires to save a few pennies of gas. Buy new tires that do well in our tests, and that will last like the ones listed above. And countertop microwaves. We tested 63 models. We test for how evenly and quickly it heats and how well it defrosts, amount of usable capacity in cubic feet, and how noisy it is when operating and more. The median is 64 and the range was 33 to 89. Large with even heating. The LG MSWN 1590. It's $170. It scored an 85. The midsize bargain is the Gallant GSWWD 11S. That cost $95. It scored a 72. Small and quiet. The Insignia NSMW07BKO cost $60 and it scored a 63. Soundbars. We tested 37 full-featured models. How easy a model is to set and use, how versatile it is in terms of features, and the quality of sound it produces and more. The median was 54, the range was 36 to 73. And the first one that got a 73 was the Sonos Arc for $900. The compact and easy to use is the Danone Home Soundbar for $500, scored a 60. And good sound for a nice price is the Yamaha YAS-209 at $350, also scored a 60. Toilets. 59 models. A model's ability to simulate solid waste through the boil and trap, and how well the flush cleans the boil, how quiet the flush is, and more. The median score was 70, and the range was 38 to 79. The top score at 79 was the best single flush toilet was the Kohler Keston K3750. It cost $275. Dual flush toilet, the American Standard Edgemore at 204BA, $270, and that scored a 77. And budget-friendly dual flush is the Glacier Bay N2428R at Home Depot for $100. It scored a 73. Chainsaws. We tested 58 models. How easy it is to start, how fast it cuts through a 10-inch square oak beam, how safe it is to use, including the intensity of the kickback, and more. Median was 62, the range was 34 to 82. Top score at 82 was the best battery power saw, was the Ego CS1804, $370. A not a bad score at 78 was the lightweight battery picked for less, Ryobi RY4050, $280, and the gas-powered model, the Echo CS590, $420, scored a 77. Ask our experts. My car uses premium gas, but I'd rather fill up with regular to save money. Is that okay? Who wouldn't want to fill up on cheaper gas, given the high prices right now? And premium gas, according to AAA, costs roughly 70 cents more at press time per gallon than regular. But whether you can fill up with regular depends on the vehicle you own. Some cars can take both types of gas, but others can't, depending on those cars are designed by the manufacturer. To find out, check the inside of your fuel door or filler lid on your vehicle, or look in your owner's manual. If there's no label on the filler lid that states the type of gas required, or if it simply reads unleaded, then use regular 87 octane, it's fine. If it says premium required, then you must use premium. But what if it says premium recommended? That means premium gas is optional. It may be preferred by the manufacturer because the company believes it will provide better fuel economy and or acceleration. But our tests have shown that the difference is negligible for the average driver in most scenarios. If you go with regular and your car's performance seems sluggish, or you hear pinging or knocking indicating improper fuel ignition, then switch back to premium. What is monkeypox and should I be worried about it? Monkeypox is a viral illness similar to smallpox, but is not as contagious or as deadly. We already have a vaccine because monkeypox isn't a new virus. The first human case was reported in 1970 in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It has gotten so much attention this year because in the past the virus was not widespread out of West and Central Africa. Now cases have been found in at least 48 countries, including Australia, Canada, the UK, and the US. Monkeypox is generally spread by close physical contact, and the risk for most people in the U.S. remains lower than it is for COVID-19, which is far more contagious. Still, the World Health Organization has put the international community on high alert because monkeypox does have the potential to become more widespread. Whatever the status of global monkeypox outbreak, it's always a good idea to watch for signs of any infectious disease, especially if you're immunocompromised. A monkeypox infection can begin with fever, headaches, muscle aches and back aches, chills, exhaustion, and swollen lymph nodes in the neck, armpits, and or groin. The monkeypox rash looks like pimples or blisters. Some people only get the rash. Most recover without treatment. But the virus can be more dangerous for children or those with compromised immunity. If you develop a rash and or flu-like symptoms, call your doctor. For more information on what the monkeypox rash looks like, go to cr.org/monkeypox. My wireless earbuds are always low on battery power, or they won't pair. Should I just stick with the wired ones? You could. Wired headphones are easy to use, and top-rated models offer the best sound quality, if you don't have to charge them. But the convenience of wireless headphones may outweigh some of their limitations. For example, when you're exercising, wired headphones tether you to your device and can snag on stuff. Wireless buds don't have those issues. Plus, they connect to a device up to 30 feet or more away, so you can stick your smartphone in your pocket or leave it across the room without interrupting listening. Another consideration, most new smartphones no longer have traditional headphone jacks, which means you need to use a dongle attachment to plug into your phone. Wireless buds eliminate that need. They'll pair with any device that has a compatible Bluetooth connection. If you have trouble pairing yours, follow our setup guide at cr.org Bluetooth guide. You may not have to charge wireless buds as often as you think, either. Many models are claimed to last for well over a day on a single charge. For top-rated picks with the best battery life, Go to cr.org/bestbuds. CR Insights. What is the best plant milk? Which plant milk is best for you? And there's a picture of whole bunches. Original soy, there's oat milk, there's coconut milk, there's Wonder Milk, which is, doesn't say what that is, and there's unsweetened sunflower seed milk. That's interesting. Oat, almond, sunflower seed. The Vira plants getting milked, in quotation marks, just keeps growing. So how do you choose among them? Unless they're fortified with nutrients, which many are, most plant milks don't stack up to cow's milk. If matching the nutrients in dairy milk is important to you because you follow a vegan diet, say, check the label to make sure it supplies about 20% of the daily value for calcium and 15% for vitamin D per cup. Here's what else to know as you shop. Almond. Neutral almond milk is the choice when you want a little creaminess but not much added flavor or protein. Soy. Its mild beany flavor makes it a versatile choice for drinking or pouring over cereal. If you're looking for a nutritional match for protein in cow's milk, soy comes closest and has 7 to 12 grams of protein per cup. Oat. It's a little sweeter and creamier than other plant milks, nice when you're craving a richer drink. A cup will give you about 2 to 4 grams of protein and 2 grams of fiber. Coconut. It adds a subtle tropical note to smoothies, and it's good for frothing, but it has as much saturated fat as 2% dairy milk and little to no protein. Blends. These combinations of plant milk, such as Wonder Milk, which includes coconut and oat milks, are closest in taste to cow's milk, but they own half as much protein, about 4 grams or less per cup. Sunflower seed. A creamy texture and mild flavor makes this a nice choice for cereal or oatmeal. It has 2 grams of protein per cup and is naturally rich in vitamin E. These light bulbs really save money. If you're still using incandescent bulbs, you're wasting money every time you flick on your lights. Switch to energy-efficient LED bulbs. LED stands for light-emitting diode. And you could save around $225 in energy costs per year. LED bulbs also last up to 25 times longer than incandescents. And they come in smart versions, meaning you can program and control them remotely, potentially reducing your electric bill because they'll turn on only when needed. Here are a few LED bulbs to try, plus some key lighting terms. A bright idea. TP-Link Casa Smart Wi-Fi Light Bulb Multicolor KO125, $10 from Amazon. Works with Amazon Alexa, Google Home Assistant, Samsung SmartThings. CR's take. Our evaluators praise the simple controls and the automated function this bulb offers. You can set it to turn on, turn off, or dim at sunrise or sunset every day. Setup wasn't as easy. Once you've downloaded the app, you have to pair each bulb to it. Fast controls and nice dimming. Cree Lighting Connected Max LED Smart Bulbs. $10 at Amazon, Lowe's, and Walmart. And Cree is made locally here in North Carolina. Works with Amazon, Alexa, Apple, Siri shortcuts, Google Home Assistant, Samsung, and SmartThings. CR's take. This Energy Smart certified bulb responds without delay when you turn it on or off or dim it, or change the color using your smartphone or by voice command. It pairs easily to your phone via Bluetooth. Philips, easiest to set up, Philips Smart Wi-Fi LED Color and Tunable A19. $13 at Home Depot and Walmart. Works with Amazon, Alexa, Apple, Siri shortcuts, Google Home Assistant, Samsung, and SmartThings. CR's take. Also an Energy Star bulb, it's a breeze to set up because it doesn't require you to create an account in order to control it from your smartphone. And Philips offers a wide range of bulbs, types, and sizes. And then we have a thing of lumens, a measure of the maximum brightness of a light bulb. 450 lumens equals 40 watts, 800 lumens is 60 watts, 1100 lumens is 75 watts, 1600 lumens is 100 watts. White tuning. The ability of a smart bulb to change the color temperature of its light from warm, orange or pink toned, to cool, blue toned, white. Some have followed the sun's circadian modes, where they shift from warm and cool light throughout the day as sunlight does. And then we have the consumer watch time travel, money savers. In 1942, men's shirts are becoming pricier and less well made. We rated 35 brands and found that only 5 shirts are worth their price. In 1950, the first independent credit card used at multiple retailers and introduced by Diners Club, and it's made of cardboard. 1955, Some women's suits cost twice as much as this $30 JCPenney two-piece, but when the test suits, none have better quality. In 1968, Terry LaBelle founds Volpac, a direct mail company sending coupons from local retailers to potential shoppers around Clearwater, Florida. In 1978, proper insulation could cut your heating and cooling bills in half, CR reports. We tell readers how to balance installation cost with fuel savings. In 1983, home computers, still relatively new products, keep track of your finances, we report. For under $30, you can buy a program to balance your checkbook, manage charge accounts, and more, and it'll be on a 6-inch floppy disk, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. Auto insurance. In 1992, almost identical coverage from different auto insurance can vary in cost by thousands of dollars, we say, touting USAA's premium. I am a USAA owner. 208 Groupon, an e-commerce company that offers discounts, launches its first-ever deal. Savings at the bar on the floor below Groupon's Chicago office. 2012, some credit bureaus pressure people to pay up to $240 for reports they could get for free. We show CR readers where to find free reports. And in 2022, we look at top-rated products from our test and find bargain buys that perform really well, such as this Kenmore vacuum. Kenmore pet-friendly 301140 for $280, scored a 74. Veggie sausages for meat lovers. Can a pan-glazed hot dog or bratwurst hold its own against a sausage made with meat? That's the question our hungry meat-loving staffers set out to answer when they cooked up five popular vegetarian choices to see how they compared with the real thing. Below, find out which ones we loved and which aren't quite ready for prime time. The editor's choice, the impossible sausage bratwurst, $7.29 for four of them. If nobody told us what we were eating, we might have assumed these were great chicken sausage, a bit lighter in flavor than pork or beef brat, but still juicy, complex, and delicious. I can't believe it's not meat, said CR's grilling expert, Paul Hope. Perfect, uniform, didn't taste overly processed, and crispy as all get out. Bratwurst anyone will love. Beyond Bratwurst, $6.49 for four. Juicy, garlicky, richly savory with a tiny bit of sweetness. Though not quite as believable as a stand-in for meat as the impossible brat, these sausages come pretty close. This brat is a rich and aromatic with notes of fennel and a deep umami flavor, says Hope says. Our tester found it hearty and filling, too. The best hot dogs. Field Roast Classic Smokes Plant-Based Frankfurters, $5.99 for six. Although this hot dog doesn't taste exactly like a real beef or pork hot dog, it comes closer than the other two, and it might appeal to people who don't like the taste of meat. It was perfectly salted and had a smooth, hot dog-like texture that many veggie dogs lack. Quick and easy, budget-friendly dog. Light Life Smart Dogs, $3.20 for eight. This dog tasted surprisingly smoky, maybe a little artificially smoky, but it has a pretty good, meaty yet smooth texture, not dense, gritty, or spongy like some of the other veggie dogs we tried. That said, it was a bit bland. A little more spice would help make it taste more like a real dog, Hope says. And an unsatisfying dog. Upton's Natural Up Dog Vegan Hot Dog, $5.99 for four. One of our tasters actually spit this hot dog out after chewing it to fully evaluate the flavor. It had a sandy texture with an overpowering flavor of onion. It was mealy, pulpy, and salty with a distracting texture, Hope says. Save your money and your taste buds and try one of the others. Continued on to CR Insights. First drive, all-electric Rivian RIT, and it's this big green pickup truck. With its debut last year, the all-electric Rivian RIT has become the most cutting-edge pickup on the market. After spending a day with three versions of the RIT, our testies came away impressed, especially considering it's Rivian's first-ever production vehicle. This truck can accelerate like a sports car and claw its way over boulders with tenacity of a true off-roading vehicle. It can tow a trailer up to 11,000 pounds, is packed with clever storage features, removable Bluetooth speaker, a rechargeable flashlight in the driver's door, an air compressor that can reach all four tires, and more. As much as we like the Rivian, it's pricey, and we'll be watching its reliability closely. First-year models and startup manufacturers tend to have bugs that need to be worked out. The price range is $67,000 to $85,000, with a destination charge of $1,500. The price as they drove it was $95,000, and the driving range is 314 miles. Gorgeous cabin. The plush interior has metal accents on the doors and seats, wood trim and plenty of padding. One negative, Almost every interior control function has to go through the center information screen. The power tonneau cover. With the press of a button, the top of the bed rail, the power tonneau bed cover retracts backward toward the cab, disappearing from view as if by magic. Seriously, it's really cool. Gear tunnel. The RIT's most interesting feature may be the gear tunnel that runs across the body just behind the cab. It's wide enough for a couple of carry-on suitcases. Plus, when they're open, the two side doors double as steps for reaching the roof. Well, that's cool. Hill skill. Each electric motor powers its own wheel, so traction is fantastic. The RIT climbed our rock hill with ease. The off-road mode adjusts the accelerator pedal for rough terrain and raises the ride height for 15 inches of clearance. Amazing acceleration. Flooring the RIT's throttle pins you back into your seat. The 835 horsepower coming from four electric motors make it ridiculously quick. Initial R1Ts have an Environmental Protection Agency estimated driving range of 314 miles per charge, though Revon says a version coming later will be capable of over 400 miles. Video doorbells, and this has become a big thing. Porch pirates beware. Video doorbells, mounted devices that help you keep an eye on package deliveries and let you see who's at your door, are getting more sophisticated. Many cameras now see much better at night and can give you a fuller fisheye view, so you can see packages on steps and walkways. Some camera manufacturers are also offering features for a subscription fee that can identify people, animals, vehicles, and packages with real-time smartphone alerts. To help you find the right video doorbell, our rating chart below reveals the top-rated and bottom-rated models in our test, evaluated based on their video clarity, how quickly alerts are delivered to your smartphone, data privacy protections, to keep hackers at bay, and more. It looks like the highest score was the Logitech Circle View doorbell, which cost $200. The Simple Safe doorbell got good ratings. It costs $170. The Ring Video doorbell, which is the one you hear a lot about, it cost $180, and it got a high of 74. The Lorex LNWB1, $130, got a 74 as well. The Lorex 2Q QHD at $150 scored a 73, which is interesting because it's more expensive than the other one. Natemo Smart Video doorbell also scored a 73, and it cost $300. RO Visual Video doorbell wire-free cost $200. It got a 71. The Ring Gen 2 at $100 got a 71 as well, and Google Nest doorbell wired cost $230 and it scored a 70. The two doorbells to skip are Go Control GCDBC at $215. It only got a 34. 35 has poor video quality, almost no data security, data privacy, response time, and Smart IQ are all very low. SportCam Video doorbell, on the other hand, was even worse. It cost $100, but it only got a 26, and it's negative in just about everything. The most comfortable desk chair for you. A well-designed desk chair is one of the wisest home upgrades you can make, especially if you sit for hours at a time at a desk. According to the Occupational Safe and ATN Health Administration, products with good ergonomic design, meaning those that have been scientifically designed to fit the people who use them, can help reduce musculoskeletal disorders caused by stress on muscles, nerves, blood vessels, ligaments, and tendons. But with so many desk chair designs available, some at pretty high prices, and a great deal of them claims of being ergonomic, it's not always clear which one will fit to support your body properly, says Paul Ritchie, Dr. PhD, a certified professional ergonomist who led CR's evaluation of desk chairs. Instead of putting stock in claims, look for adjustability features, he says. Here are the top picks at right to use when you try out any chair. How to adjust it. Fine-tuning the lumbar support can help maintain the natural inward curve of your lower spine. Also, with your back against the backrest, the angle between your torso and thighs should be 90 degrees or more. Look for a seat adjuster and use it to slide the seat forward or back so that it are roughly 2 inches between the back of your knee and the seat edge. Raise or lower the armrest or slide them forward or back if possible until they support your arms with your elbows at your side bent at a 90 to 100 degree angle. Move the seat up or down until it's high enough to keep both feet flat on the floor or on a footrest with your knees bent at no less than 90 degrees. Sierra's take looking for great value? It's hard to beat this chair. In addition to top scores for ergonomic designs, the most comfortable model we tried. Steelcase Series 1 cost $487. It got the top ratings in all the rankings. The Herman Miller sale chair at $695 to $1,295 has a really high score as well. Hahn Ignition 2.1 Tash chair at $340 to $460 got fairly high thing, but not that great. And the Branch Ergonomic chair at $329 to $398 was a little pricey, but it also had pretty good support in all the levels that it needed to have it. And let's kind of end the program with some funny times. Military personnel are an optimistic bunch. During an ROTC class on defensive positioning, someone asked our instructor, "What do we do if we're surrounded?" "Son," the instructor said, "never think of yourself as being surrounded. Look at it as being in a target-rich environment." I can remember that from my boot camp days. Laughter the best medicine. For exercise-averse, good news. Researchers say that a mere 3 seconds of resistance training a day could boost our biceps by 12%. Meanwhile, The Week asks its readers to name a workout regimen that requires the absolute minimum level of evidence. How about CrossFit, Auto Pilates, Chairmaster, Glutamus Minimus, Dudley Squats, Chilates, and Zumba? Uplifting. Facebook Eric Alper shared this list he found in his Lyft driver's car. Welcome to Cameron's Car. To ensure the best ride possible for you, I have prepared a menu of the various types of rides I offer. Just choose one, sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. The awkward ride. You ignore this menu completely, then we will sit in silence for the remainder of the ride. The funny ride. I tell you jokes or anything joyous from my life. The silent ride. The creepy ride. I don't say anything, but I keep staring at you in the rearview mirror. The karaoke ride. We rock out to hits from the 80s, early 2000s, or literally whatever you want. The bubbles ride. We blow bubbles the whole time. The small talk ride. We talk about how crazy the weather's been lately, and I ask if you caught the game last night. The therapy ride. Tell me your problems and I listen. The drunk ride. You throw up in my car. Blech. The cliche ride. You ask me how long I've been driving for Lyft. And how about a couple of quotable quotes? Spend 30 minutes a day doing something to help you become the person you secretly love to be, to do the job you would secretly love to do. There are people who are doing it, and it was impossible for them at one time, too. Tomi Adeyemi, a novelist. Decide what is yours to hold and let the rest go. Oftentimes, the good things in your life are lighter anyway. That's from Taylor Swift. I can out-eat any workout, Angela Bassett. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.